Any firm that is not able to get the reports they are looking for can do two things. Look at your time and billing system. There's Outline that are amazing out there. Time and billing and case management combined, I think, is really important for firms. And then in addition, knowing that you may not be able to do everything yourself, and having a professional, it could be a fractional CFO, fractional controller, just come in and take that data for you once a month and put it in a format that's on one page that the partners can get together and look at every month and make a commitment to making a decision once a month on that data.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fritzen, and I'm so happy that you're with me today. And listen, it's all about being that lawyer, someone who is confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker, as you know, if you've listened to the show before. And a little bit of a change up this, I should say this morning, it's this afternoon, but it doesn't matter to you because I don't know when you're listening to this. But I found a really great quote years ago, and I just wanted to share it with you. And then I'm going to bring my guests in to kind of get their take on it. But the quote is from Winston Churchill, and it goes something like this. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And I have an opinion about that. And I have some clients recently who some of them are struggling. I mean, we've got introverts, we've got a tough marketplace in some scenarios. And I look them in the eye every day and I say, we're going to make it. We're going to get through it. We just have to stick together and we just have to, you know, not give up. And that's really what it means to me. And failure sometimes just means learning. So I've got Casey Blake and I've got Margaret Burke here with me today out of Boston. I can't remember the Boston accent, Boston. If I'm Boston, I'm just doing the commercial now from the your commercial, Sam Adams commercials, but welcome to the show. And before we get into your bios and about you, what is that quote? What resonated with you when I read that quote? And Margaret, feel free to jump in.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I frankly made me feel good because it's true. You know, we don't always hear about successful people and all the challenges that they have had to get to where they are. No one just becomes successful from not failing. And so that quote really is a reminder that the biggest failure, I guess, is not trying. And that's a cliche because it's there because it's so true. We have to get out there and try, and we learn from failing. We learn from putting ourselves out there. And so that quote, frankly, made me happy when I heard it. It's a nice reminder.
Yeah. Wonderful. Casey?
I agree. And I think it's embracing everything as a learning opportunity and acknowledging that it isn't going to be always here's point A, here's point B, but there might be some bumps and bruises along the way from A to B, but you'll get there. And whether it's the journey that you anticipated or it's kind of taking you down some detours, it's learning from those experiences and taking those with you as you continue to grow and develop and change.
Yeah. And, you know, I've run a number of businesses outside of Fritzen Inc. And some of them failed. You know, I had a recruiting firm. I had an executive coaching business. I've done a bunch of different things. And I, you know, did I lose my shirt and end up in, you know, living in a box? No, but they failed in the sense that they weren't successful and I didn't grow them to, you know, multi-million dollar businesses. But I definitely learned. I definitely learned what I want to do, what I like to do, what I'm good at doing. And that's sometimes half the battle. We just have to keep trudging forward and keep learning from those mistakes. And I try to explain that to my 14-year-old, and he definitely needs to learn by doing. He doesn't learn from me, dad telling him, that's for sure. And Andrew, if you're listening to this, you know what I'm talking about. So do me a favor and let's go back for a moment into your backgrounds, because you've got a really deep background in legal and leading into your current business at Colibri Law Support Solutions, which, Margaret, give us a little background on yourself and then we'll move to Casey and we'll pull it all together.
Sure. Yeah, thanks. First of all, we're thrilled to be here. And my name is Margaret Burke. I'm the Managing Director of Colibri Law Support Solutions. And as Steve mentioned or started to, we provide services to law firms. And my background is in management law firms. So I have been in the legal management field for almost 20 years. My last position in a law firm was as CEO of a law firm in Boston. And as part of my background, I've had the experience of starting a firm and growing a firm. I've also had the experience of being very hands-on and then building a team and managing people and coaching them and helping to build a successful law firm. In addition, I'm also a certified legal manager and I have my MBA. And I also have a background with human resources. So I'm a professional in human resources. So I take those different, you know, learning opportunities and I bring that to our clients. And frankly, I've just been really fortunate to be able to use my skills with hands-on law firm management for many years.
Well, I know that background and your current experience is going to be really helpful to my audience and what they're going to take away from the show today. And we're going to get into that in a moment. Casey, you want to go back and give us a little bit of your background?
Definitely. Yes. So I am Calibri's Director of Client Success. And what I bring with me to the table is strategic creative thinking. I love thinking outside of the box and really helping people drive at solutions that are unique to their firm and also, you know, something that they maybe haven't tried before. I also love to be the, you know, the dot connector, as I call myself, between either, again, creative problem solving or networking. So getting people, you know, interconnected. My background is in marketing and business development in the professional services space. I spent the better half of my career in the accounting industry, which is very translatable to my friends in the legal industry, which is why this fit like a glove when I was able to come and join my colleague, Margaret at Calibri and work with law firms on their strategic planning, marketing, business development, and overall brand engagement.
Okay, so which group is more difficult to work with, lawyers or accountants? How about that on the spot?
My answer is I'm not going to answer because they're equally as fantastic. I'll say that.
Oh my
lawyers
God.
Lawyers and accountants, they're equally fabulous.
What a total cop-out. Thank you. That's great. That's great. All right, well, listen, we don't have to go there. I will tell you, I've worked in both industries and I think accountants are tougher to work with. I think they are just so slow. I mean, they make lawyers seem fast sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I know that's my take and I can say it because, you know, I'm friends with some accountants and they can appreciate it. So let's talk about what challenges and we're in a unique environment right now in the COVID era and in this just a crazy time for legal right now. And what are the challenges that law firms have with inefficiency? That could be in operations, that could be in marketing and sales, and it could be in the financial side. But what types of things are you two seeing on a regular basis as it relates to inefficiencies within law firms? Margaret?
Sure. I would the two things that jump out in terms of inefficiency is technology and financial management. So those are two areas that are critical to running a successful law firm. And what we see happens, and it's happened in my own experience at prior firms, is it seems like such a daunting change to upgrade technology and to also upgrade and make decisions related to financial management that it doesn't always happen. Attorneys are very busy people. They're very busy working with clients and solving problems for other people. And so as a result of that, they don't believe they can take the time to focus on these two areas when the time spent on making some decisions will really pay off in the future for law firms.
Yeah. So technology in the financial management, Casey, what would you add on top of that?
Yeah, I think my two takeaways or my two things to contribute here is very kind of piggybacking off of what Margaret just said. It's often one or two attorneys trying to do so many things, right? They're trying to bring in business, retain great clients and keep their people happy, all of which are like the trifecta of a successful firm. You want your clients, your people to be happy, and you want to keep bringing business in. Absolutely. But that can be ever so challenging to do all those things equally as well. And so I think where there's inefficiencies is someone's trying to wear all of those hats at one time. And we see that across the board in professional services. And so there's people that can assist with those types of services and how they can be helpful. And I'd also add from a marketing perspective, I think an inefficiency that I notice sometimes is proper use of a website. So I think there's sometimes this tendency for certain firms to say, well, it's not, you know, I just want people to be able to see us and get a picture of us and so on and so forth. But it really can be a driver of new business. And it also, you know, you want to be found, you want to be found well, you want to be found easily with the correct search terms. It's a really important piece of your external brand. So I think that though there are some firms doing this exceptionally well, their websites are current and they look great, there are others that are, I think, are really missing an opportunity to engage with their audience.
Yeah. And if I could weigh in, Casey, you just said something so important. We hear a lot, and Steve, I'm sure you'll probably shake your head. Many firms will say, gee, we don't get business from our law firm, from our website.
Yeah.
That's not our clientele. However, Clio actually had a really great report out recently and study, and they shared that more than like 85% to 80%, I'm coming from memory now, so I hope that's correct, that number, but it's a high percent of anyone considering working with a law firm, they go to their website and they judge within 3 seconds. And even if you don't get business through your website, anyone considering working with you is looking at your website. So Casey's point is so important.
Yeah. So it's not about like, hey, my website converts personal injury into intake. It's the fact that people are using it for validation. They're using it to acknowledge that the referral they received is supported by what they're seeing on the screen. And the other missing piece that I'm going to add that is so critical, maybe now more than ever in the history, and I may be exaggerating, but I don't know, you'll let me know, is hiring. And the diversity, the website demonstrates the culture. And right now, you know, people need to retain and people need to find talent because it's just a crazy time. And so I think that would be something I'd add as well, that it defines the, to some degree, the image of the culture that the perception of that firm that might also bring in new talent, right?
Steve, yeah. You
how really good am I, huh?
You're good.
Yeah.
No, you hit the nail on the head. Casey and I, if people could see us, you know, we were shaking our heads.
Yeah.
We all know right now recruiting is, I can say, a challenge. Retaining people is critical. What is the term right now? The great resignation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just... And the diversity component in an industry that generally does not have a lot of diversity, that is something that especially some younger talent are noticing, you know, not just younger, but that is really important to a lot of the folks coming out of law school right now, is what are firms doing to bring in a diverse population?
Yeah. So the three white guys on the cover of the homepage, right? In the suits and in the oak wood. You know, that's just out, you know, that's not now, again, if a firm doesn't need or care or want anything about diversity or about recruiting, hiring, any of that, that's fine. You know, play through, but mostly, you know, law firms that are looking to grow and scale and they're looking to stay around long-term, they got to consider the website as their image and culture and diversity and all those elements are going to come into play. So let me ask this question. With all those efficiencies in technology, financial, you know, people wearing too many hats and marketing, what are some of the things that you work on day to day with law firms to help them improve efficiencies? And the more tactical you can get, the better, in the sense of giving, you know, a specific idea around those concepts. Yep. Casey, you want to start us off? And then we'll go to Margaret. Ooh, I just caught you in the middle of a...
Margaret, if you have a thought, Margaret, feel free if you want.
Sure.
Go for it.
So I was going to go back to the financial component, and I think that, you know, it's going to sound basic, but it really comes up a lot, and it can be the driver of success in getting the reports and information that firms need. And it's not just, firms don't really want reports for the sake of reports. They want information to make decisions. They want them to make decisions based on hiring and, frankly, compensation. You know, it comes up. You want to track certain things. And I think it's worth, any firm that is not able to get the reports they are looking for can do two things. Really look at your time and billing system, because there's a plenty that are amazing out there. Time and billing and case management combined, I think, is really important for firms. And then in addition, knowing that you may not be able to do everything yourself, in having a professional, it could be a fractional CFO, fractional controller, just come in and take that data for you once a month and put it in a format that's on one page that the partners can get together and look at every month and make a commitment to making a decision once a month on that data, using that data. So that's sort of my...
And can they break it out into practice groups as well? Like, is that another way to look at each practice group by profitability and revenue and such?
Yeah, that's actually a great point. And that is the type of data that many firms want and need.
It's
how profitable is a practice area? And that would really ideally include the cost to support that practice area. It's the attorneys, it's the staff allocating some of the overhead, because, you know, quite often the busiest practice area may not be the most profitable, and you keep hiring for that practice area. And sometimes there's other reasons. They may be a loss leader. There's other reasons. But if you don't have that information, it's actually very hard to make a decision when you don't have information. And that can hold firms back from making important decisions.
Yeah. Casey?
Yeah, I'd say one of the biggest things too to help assist clients with their inefficiencies or thinking things through is really being a soundboard. You know, I think one of the qualities that we bring to our, you know, insert when we meet with these clients, is it weekly, is it monthly? Our goal, and ultimately, and it is what makes us different, is we want to be a teammate. We want to be someone that is understanding of what you're going through, because chances are, with the background of our team, someone's dealt with something similar in a previous role. And that's what makes our bench strength so strong, is that we have people who have, you know, mixed expertise and specialty areas. But ultimately, we want to listen and offer strategic solutions. And I think that when there is that feeling of inefficiency, it can be that hair pulling moment where we can look in our client's face and see that, you know, how can we help them navigate whatever this inefficiency is, whether it is related to the financial side or something firm management or something in the human capital space? How can we help smooth that over? And we do that by being a sounding board and then being the advice giver. So I think that that's something that we help clients with too.
Well, let's take that a step. Oh, Margaret, yes.
Sorry, I just want to piggyback on Casey.
Yeah,
I always
go for
do.
It. Go for it.
I think that another area where we do provide a resource that I didn't actually envision happening, but I see it now, is we work with clients that want to improve. So they have a goal. So there's some motivation there. And we're also very neutral. Like, we come at our feedback from a very, very factual perspective versus sometimes people in the firms, and I know firsthand, it can be emotional.
Oh, sure.
And in some people have, you know, in decisions can have an impact on them. So it can be hard to sometimes make decisions. We come in, we're passionate about our clients, but we're not, I would say, emotional about decisions. We're very factual. And I it's something that I see now often, and I can compare it to working at a firm and how different that can be for our clients and how helpful it can be.
I mentioned to you guys right at the beginning, before we started taping, that I have some Rainmaker roundtables where I have a number of equity partners and managing partners that get together to, you know, discuss these kinds of things and discuss inefficiencies and efficiencies and share ideas. And one that just keeps coming up time and time again is the one with the hats, you know, too many hats. You've got a managing partner who's also responsible for billing 2,000 hours, who's also trying to develop business and feed the troops, who's also involved in, you know, hundreds of hours of firm management meetings, who also, right? And trying to get that done. And at the end of the day, right, it maybe it works, but not to the delight of the individual. So what are we talking to those kinds of individuals about that are just wearing too many hats?
Yeah, I'll start. I think it's two things. It's acknowledging that something needs to come off the plate, which is sometimes the hardest, because when someone's been heavily involved historically with all of those hats that you just mentioned, it's really hard to take one off, because they probably enjoy, you know, engaging with new team members and clients and the, you know, networking, because that's probably what brought them to that leadership role, is their ability to do all of those things and do them quite well. So I think it's one, it's acknowledging, okay, I'm trying to do so many things right now, and then allowing someone else to step in to assist with that. And, you know, there's so many ways that can be done very gingerly. It doesn't have to be the Band-Aid being ripped off the skin knee, but what we're trying to do is not put band-aids over firm issues. We're trying to stitch them, right? So we're trying to come up with long-term impactful solutions rather than continue to like put 18 band-aids and then they all get ripped off at one time, right? So not to go down that rabbit hole of a you know, example, but yeah.
But maybe trying to figure out like from that managing partner or from that individual, you know, what they enjoy or what their core focus is, or what are they really good at doing? Like, I can tell you from my background in running a number of businesses, I don't like managing people. I'm a terrific coach, and that's different than managing an employee. Yeah. I hate managing people. So I have no employees. I don't want to have employees. I'm done. I've been there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, but people don't maybe think of, it just has to be done. And so they're the one to do it. So do you guys have a process that you put them through? Or Margaret, do you want to chime in on the hats issue?
Sure, definitely. The hat issue is a very real issue. It is very common. It is quite often in the legal industry. The person that produces the most business is, you know, promoted to managing partner. And it's such a wonderful, prestigious place to be. And it is next to impossible to do it properly if you are also managing clients. And I think that there's a few things. And Casey, you said something, and Steve, you did also, that you sort of took it away from me. One is, you know, it's important to let go, but it's also important to keep what you like. So highest and best use. What is this managing partner best at? Really defining that. And then for the people that are taking the work over for this individual, knowing when to report in, because it is hard to let go. It's very hard if you've been in charge of something to completely let go. And I think having the right people to take over some of the responsibilities and that person reporting in and keeping them in the loop, but also having the ability to make that decision is really important.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think one of the problems that law firms have, and it's not going to go on forever because the times they are changing, and you can tell in Arizona and Utah, where they're going to be, and they're, you know, there already are non-lawyer run firms and cooperated firms, that these are businesses, and law firms need to be run like businesses, not like law firms. And in the good old days of the old West, you know, just shooting the guns up in the air in the saloon, and that's how we do our comp, or that's how we figure out how people get paid, or that's how we figure out who does what. I think those days have to come to an end at some point. And are you helping law firms get organized with the future and how to run it more like a business? And why is that so important now more than ever?
Yeah. So that's a very big part of what we do, actually. So we, especially on the financial management side, a large value that we offer that can be really hard to have in-house unless you're a big firm with a high-level CFO that's able to crunch the numbers and be analytical, is we help our clients develop, you know, KPIs. What's important to them? We talk a lot about why is that important. We also share best practices on the types of things they may consider tracking. And then we give them this information monthly. And what makes us different related to this is we don't just give the information. We then take the decisions that are made and help execute. So that's back to Casey's point earlier, where we're part of the team. A lot of consultants who are incredibly valuable, they come in and they give a lot of great information, but then it does need someone to execute. Yeah. And that's where we're different. So we help make decisions and then we execute.
Yeah. So it's like, I have so much on my plate and now you're telling me to make all these changes and I now have to go take more time to execute or hand it off to you two. Right. And you guys actually execute for us or help us execute. And so now it's not maybe an extra thing on my plate. It's maybe one less thing on my plate.
Yeah. I love it's a lot less. Yeah. It's actually really, it is a lot less. The goal is to always drive more revenue to help the partners and attorneys enjoy what they do and give them some free time. And that won't just happen unless someone else is able to take over their responsibilities and someone that has a skill set to do it successfully. It's hard to keep that in-house sometimes.
Yeah. Casey?
Yeah, I don't know if I have much to add because Margaret just said it so well. And the one thing I will add is when Margaret and I were on a webinar a couple months ago, one of the things that Margaret said to the group was, your law firm is a business. Yes, it's a business. That was the title, I think, of one of the slides that Margaret presented. So when you said that, it brought me right back to that time, Margaret, that you said that, because it really is important to see your firm that way and how it needs to operate in that fashion. So it totally resonates with us for sure.
And the good news is that there's never been more help, more automation, more technology, more ways to make things better than ever than now, right? I mean, tonight, like 2022 is so much better than, you know, 2018. I mean, even so, you know, yeah. any kind of final words on that before we move to the three best of?
Sure. I'll add, and you touched on it, is processes.
Yeah.
It's really important, and it's not not everyone enjoys doing it, but it's really important to have some of the project management skills that can come in and find out from everyone at the firm that's involved in a process why something is being done a certain way, and then come up with better solutions, document it, train it, and make it part of the firm, because that's another trait at law firms. And I hate to generalize, but I believe it's pretty true, is people can practice in silos sometimes. And when it comes to processes, not everyone follows them. And when you want to get information, sometimes the information isn't there because people aren't following the processes. So having a process in place really streamlines time. It makes staff happier because the staffs end up sometimes doing extra work when there's not a process in place. So again, I think the financial management and processes are critical.
Yeah. Casey?
Yeah, I'll say, I think in closing, just with how to make things more manageable, and Margaret knows I love this, it's turning, and I'll use this from a business development perspective. I love saying to turn your business development into digestible bites. And I love to talk to people about how to make things feel more manageable. And granted, it's definitely through some ways that we can work with clients, but it's things like setting small goals of every day getting on LinkedIn for 15 minutes, like start there. If LinkedIn isn't in your, you know, repertoire, add it there, but do it in a digestible way. Or, you know, looking at every opportunity as a marketing opportunity. So if you're a lawyer, you know, understand who the advisors are of your other clients, make those outreaches, be a guest at a networking circle. There's ways to make things not feel quite so overwhelming. And to your point, in this day and age of, we can do this through Zoom, we can do things differently. There's so much opportunity to make it feel digestible and manageable.
Well, that's wonderful. And I agree with that a lot. And I sometimes, it's where we need to start. It's not, you know, you can't, how do you eat an elephant?
Right.
One bite at a time.
Yeah.
All right. So, which is gross, but anyway, listen, let's move to three best of. You're in Boston. And if I come to Boston, and I will treat you two to dinner. Okay. And where are we going? Because I have very high standards. I'm just kidding. I don't, but I just like good food. I don't need to have a 5-star experience where I'm, tasting 20 different things, but what's like a hot joint? What's a great place to go? Margaret?
Okay. So I have two places, and one is not high end at all, actually, but I was going to say it. So it's actually an area where Casey lives. She lives in she has so many restaurants near her home that it's amazing. She's near Cambridge, Mass. So I think Cambridge is a definite place that people should visit. And in terms of restaurants, it's in Somerville, and it is called True Bistro. Mm. It is vegan. So that might not appeal to everyone, but it is absolutely amazing. And so I would recommend True Bistro. I would recommend going to Cambridge. And I'm at a loss for the third place someone should go. I'd like to throw out what everyone expects, which is like Fenway Park, but it's December.
Well, we're not there yet, though. So restaurant is True Bistro. I get
True Bistro, and then Somerville.
So I'm coming. And so after dinner, before dinner, you're going to take me somewhere. And it's something that I need to see. It's a monument. It's art. It's an amazing garden. I mean, what's something you have to see when you come to Cambridge or Boston or the whole area?
Okay, so my location is not near True Bistro, but I'd say it's the Rose Kennedy Walkway in Boston. There's a lot of different things happening there. A lot of it's for kids, but a lot of it's for adults. And there's a brewery there that's outside. There are Ferris wheels, there's water fountains. And what's fun about it is it's right in the middle of a main road with wonderful restaurants, outdoor dining, just everything is in one place in walking distance. So I would say the Rose Kennedy Walkway from one end to the other.
Okay. And Casey, we're going to wrap up on you with what are locals into? What are people doing these days?
Yeah, I would say, so one of the big ones, I think, well, there's a couple, but one of the big, Margaret just said it was breweries. We have some awesome breweries in the greater Boston area. As Margaret said, I'm like 12 minutes north of Boston. Actually, Margaret, I can walk to True Bistro. So we'll have to catch up about that. Seriously. Yeah. Okay. Teal Square. Anyway, so we'll chat about that too. But yeah, I mean, there are some awesome craft breweries right around, like all over the place, and they're good. There's outdoor, there's fire pits, there's activities. I have young kids. It's fun to bring kids. So it's just, it's a great kind of culture of people just getting outside and having a nice afternoon.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, look, I there's a couple of different cities I haven't been to, and Boston is one of them. So I'm going to have to, it's on the list. If people want to get in touch with you for business purposes, which I, you know, recommend if you're a law firm that is looking to tighten up those bolts and get yourself in game shape, Calibri Law Support Solutions, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can find us online. So our website is calibrilaw.com, and that's KOLIBRI law.com. And we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So definitely check out our social pages. And then my email is cblake@calibrilaw.com.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Margaret?
Sure. And my email is mburke@calibrilaw.com. And phone number is 833-330-1633. Please feel free to call us also.
Awesome. Well, you two have been delightful, and it's been fun. And it also has been very educational because we've covered a lot of ground regarding inefficiencies and ways to make law firms run more like a business and more efficiently. And so I just want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom and spending some time with me today.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And hey, everybody, thank you for spending some time with us today. And again, hopefully you've got some good takeaways from today. I know I do. And listen, it's all about being that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. And sometimes you need a little help to get there. And whether it's this show or reading a book or you know, calling Casey and Margaret, whatever it takes to get where you need to go, you got to take care of it. So be well, be safe. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.